Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best of all creation. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the best of all creation.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program, The Way of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And today, inshallah, we'll be talking about routine of life and sunnah. How can we make our routine in accordance with sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Inshallah, an interesting topic, a lot of knowledge we're going to share with you. Be with us from start to end. Inshallah, an immense amount of knowledge is there to share and you to learn. Ask your children, family members to come and sit in front of TV screen of Madani Channel and you can learn about how can you live according to Sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. We will mention various Sunnahs of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam and we'll tell you how can you schedule your day according to the Sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. But before we proceed towards our topic of the day, let's make few good intentions. My Sheikh Tariqat Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Da'wat Barakatum Al-Aliya, has given us a beautiful mindset. We should make good intentions, and before we perform any permissible task or good deed, we should make good intentions. As I'm delivering, presenting this program, I make this intention, I will do this for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're watching this, you should make this intention. You will watch from start to end, remember what you learn, act upon and pass this knowledge onto others. Alhamdulillah, today joins me Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Muhammad Waqas Attari. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Waqas, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, how are you? Okay.
Good, Alhamdulillah. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much once again joining and giving your precious time. Waqas, today's topic is very interesting and practical. We'll be not only talking about the sunnahs of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, inshallah, we'll try to give an idea and way how can we schedule our day according to the sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And inshallah, we'll be sharing what are the beautiful sunnahs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam which can be implemented in our life routine. I think it would be a great idea to start from very first early day when we wake up until we go to bed to sleep. Now, when we wake up, what are the beautiful sunnahs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam one should have in his or her mind? And when should we wake up? That is the next question to ask you.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So we need to remember that every part of our life can be ibadah worship for us. Many people just think, oh, read the Quran, reading the Salah, that's our ibadah, that's worship. From the time we wake up, from the time we go to sleep, our whole day can be ibadah, can be worship for us. How? By following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and having the intention of acting upon the sunnah. So firstly, we wake up in the morning. When must we wake up? We must wake up before the time of Fajr Salah. Before sunrise, we must wake up to read our Fajr Salah. And remember, unfortunately today, many people, they miss their Fajr Salah. You know, we are okay to set our alarms for our schools, for our colleges, for our jobs, for our businesses. But if it's half an hour before it's Fajr time, we don't set our alarm for that. And remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one who misses one salah on purpose, his name is written on the door of hell which will enter it. So we must make sure that we wake up and our whole household wakes up as well. Then we complain after that I've got this trouble, I've got this issue in my house, why? You know, if at the time of Fajr salah, the whole household is asleep, you know, what else do you expect to come into the house apart from calamities and problems and issues? You don't expect any barakah, any blessings, any rahmah to come into the house where everyone is asleep at the time of Fajr. So that's the first point. Secondly, you know, how easy it is to act upon the sunnah and get reward. You wake up, read the dua for waking up. Sunnah, do that dua, ibadah straight away. You get up, fold your bedding, another sunnah. When you go, for example, to the washroom, then you put your left foot in first, ibadah. Go to the washroom according to the sunnah, ibadah. Use a miswak, ibadah. Right foot first, coming out of the washroom, ibadah. If you get changed, put your right arm in first, then your left arm. Your right leg in first, your left leg. Ibadah. So this is worship for you. This is routine, daily routine anyway we do. But with the intention of sunnah, before we've even read our Fajr Salah, 10 or 12 sunnahs we've acted upon already. And we want the reward of acting upon 10 or 12 sunnah already.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Respecting rules of Madani Shaykh, it's all about the way you should think that what I'm doing and why I'm doing and the intention and the love of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam should be in your mind, and you should schedule your day according to sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. The very first thing one should do after waking up is to recite the dua taught by Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Alhamdulillahilladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhin nushur. When you look at its meaning, Waqas bhai, it reminds us that the day when we will die, again we'll be resurrected. Right? And it in this dua, there is another reminder. We are paying shukr in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you have given me life after death. Because sleep is also a kind of death. When you are slept, you don't know what's going around you. It's just kind of a person has died, isn't it? So, another important reminder is for us that a day will come when we'll be resurrected back to life after death. And if a person starts his or her day after reciting this beautiful dua of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, following the prophetic way of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, paying shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right at the time he wakes up for Salatul Fajr. Now, definitely we'll do kalam on Salatul Fajr, but another beautiful sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Salatul Tahajjud. If the fortunate ones can get up to offer Salatul Tahajjud, what benefit is there for them to gain? What reward is there for them to gain after following this beautiful sunnah? And remember, this salah was farad upon Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, but it is the blessing of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it did not become farad upon us. And first of all, I would like to ask you, what reward is mentioned for this very salah?
The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, one who wakes up in the night and wakes his wife up, then both of them offer 2 rakat each of salah, they will be written amongst those who make the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal.
So
they will be the fortunate ones who are mentioned as the ones who make the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the reward of reading Salatul Tahajjud. Wake up yourself.
And that's how Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has encouraged us to get up. And he has not encouraged just a male, but even the family, complete family is encouraged, right? Husband and wife both get up and become amongst those who do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you beautifully said that at the time of dark, when nobody is looking, ulama have mentioned why Salatul Tahajjud is much liked in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is more dearer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the reasons is because you get up when nobody is looking at you. You're doing this act only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why Sawm, fasting is much dearer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is again the reason. If you're fasting, nobody knows whether you're fasting or not. But if you do this, you do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the reasons there's no ostentation, there's no show off. Subhanallah. If possible, you can start your day after offering Salatul Tahajjud. Then, Waqas bhai, we are trying to give a routine life according to Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whatever possible we can share. Definitely we won't be able to do justice completely, but little bit highlights of different prophetic ways which we can share, the sunnahs we can share with viewers, and if they can implement in their life routine, inshallah, we will be blessed by sharing and they'll be blessed by acting upon. I think a person should go to offer salah if masjid is close by with jama'at, isn't it?
Of course. So when you go, for example, to a masjid, there are many intentions for just going to the masjid. Sayyidina Allah Hazrat Rahmatullah has written many intentions.
40 intentions
to go to the masjid. Sayyidina Allah Hazrat has mentioned that I'll go there, I'll give salam to the Muslims. If anything's in the way, I'll remove that which can harm people. I will see the ulama ikram, I'll read my salam by jamaat. How many benefits there are of reading by jamaat? And 27 times more reward as well.
SubhanAllah.
So if you read at home, you get the reward of one jamaat. 27 times more you get reward if you read by jamaat. So this is what we need to do. increase our reward. You know, this, if we said, you know, if we're sitting in London and we say you sell something here for £1, if you go to Birmingham or Manchester, you sell it for £27. We don't want tomorrow. 27 times more.
Well, Qazmi, you said rightly, if it is just announced that a person who comes for Salatul Fajr in Masjid, he will be given £27. What do you think? Will there be any space in Masjid?
Unfortunately, at Jummah, the masjids are full, but at Fajr, they're empty. Mm. You know, other salats are empty. So just imagine if you get that reward, the masjid will be packed up. We'd have to make an extension.
Our mindset is of this dunya. We do not see the rewards of the hereafter, which are much, much, much greater and bigger. And there we have to live forever, everlasting life, much better place, much better blessings are waiting for us. But unfortunately, when it comes for monetary benefit, we are more inclined towards that. But these beautiful rewards which have been mentioned in Quran, in Hadith, Alhamdulillah, they are for believers. That's what we are reminding you, giving you, that we should have that mindset to follow the Sunnah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and to gain those rewards and benefits which have been mentioned in the books of Hadith. One more question, Qazmi. Sometimes what happens, people, they think, oh, I offer four salah, maybe three or four, but it's very hard for me to get up for Salatul Fajr. And I don't offer Salatul Fajr. I think this is another important fact to give a knowledge to people, that it is not a good idea to mention your sin in front of people. You don't need to mention that. One, you're sinning. And the next is, you are mentioning your sin. That's also an important thing. But if you cannot get up for Salatul Fajr, this question was sent to a Buzurg, right? A mother, she sent this question to a Buzurg, and it was asked that it is very hard for me to wake my children for Salatul Fajr. So the answer was given, what if there was fire at home? How would you wake up your children? The mother said, I would do whatever way possible. I'll make sure that I wake them up and I take them out of that house to protect them from that fire. So the Buzurg said, that's how you should behave when you have to wake up your child for Salatul Fajr, because you have to protect him from the fire of hell.
Unfortunately, Rabbi, that's the thing. The love for the dunya has taken the love for our deen and akhirah out of our hearts. That's why, you know, it's very easy to wake our children up for school early in the morning.
True.
You know, we force them, you have to go to school. You know, or we go for our jobs very early in the morning. 6 o'clock, if we have to get up, we'll get up. But same if it's 5:30 or 15, 20 minutes, half an hour before Salatul Fajr, we don't do that. Now, this shows our importance and our love for our deed that we have today, which is very unfortunate.
Well, Qazmi, we are talking about Sunnahs of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and making our routine according to Sunnah of Rasul Alaihi Wasallam. Okay, let's say if a fortunate person woke up early in the morning, he offered Salatul Tahajjud. If not, he missed, doesn't matter. Maybe he missed the reward, but at least he should wake up for Fard Salah.
Definitely.
He woke up, and I would advise, I think you would also advise, that we should wake up our children and take them with us towards Masjid. If father does that, goes towards Masjid, what do you think? Is it enough to just tell them, do this, do that to our children? Would they listen more? Or practically showing them what is important, or walking towards Masjid in front of them, or holding their finger, taking them to Masjid, meaning you do the first and you show what you're doing, is more workable.
Definitely, you know, children are like sponges. Whatever they see, they'll soak that in. The less effect they will have of you telling them something, and more effect of seeing what you're doing. For example, if you're reading Salah at home, you know, you put the prayer back down, you're reading your Salah, you'll see very young children, they come towards you. They try to copy you. They can't read their Salah properly. They can't do Ruku and Sujood, but they're trying to copy you. You know, when you read Quran, get the Quran, do your wuzu, sit down at home and sit down and read the Quran. You'll see the children come close to you. Do your wuzu, go start reading Salah, they'll come and copy you. Same, if you do sins and the wrong things, you go and you see films and dramas, and you listen to music, then that's what your children will do. You know, if you see in the life of the parents, whatever children see, that's what normally, a lot of the time it happens in the children's life as well.
Son copies the hairstyle of father, and so does the daughter of the mother.
The daughter will copy the clothing the mother wears, the way she dresses, the way she looks, you know, how she does that as well. So we need to make sure our children are acting upon the right path, and we are the, as fathers and mothers, are the role models for our children. So do that when you think your children want to see, do that, and inshallah your children will be copying you as a good example as well, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Okay, let's say a person who goes to masjid, he offers salah with congregation, he gets the reward 27 times, alhamdulillah. After Salatul Fajr, there is a beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then offering ishraq. Could you please mention that beautiful hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, whoever performs Salatul Fajr with Jamaat, congregation, then continues to do the zikr, remembrance of Allah azza wa jal, sitting until the sun rises, then offers two rakat salah, he will receive the reward of a complete Hajj and Umrah.
Subhanallah.
So here, you know, we spend hundreds of thousands of pounds, we go to Hajj, we go to Umrah. Do we know our Hajj is accepted? We don't know. But here, this is the reward of a complete Hajj and Umrah. Why? For two rakat.
Allahu.
Can you imagine? This is how beautiful our deen, our religion is, how merciful Allah azza wa jal is. For reading two rakat, you get the reward of a complete Hajj and Umrah. And it's also been mentioned about Salatul Chasht. In the best hadith, it's mentioned anyone who offers 12 rakat of chashd, Allah Azza wa Jal will make a palace of gold for him in Jannah.
SubhanAllah.
So unfortunately, you know, these salah, a lot of Muslims don't know about ishraq and chashd today.
Qasmi, you just said palace of gold. Now, I would like to ask viewers of Madani Channel, have they ever seen a palace of gold in their own life? Alhamdulillah, we are believers. We believe whatever Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam has said, and it's true. And this is how it will happen, right? But we don't have that importance. People, they live all their life, they can't even buy two-bed property, three-bedroom house. They dream to have a bigger house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you this blessing that you've got good house, good accommodation. But have you thought to build properties for the hereafter too? To build palace in the hereafter too? Have you ever thought that I should follow a sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, which will allow me or give me the opportunity to get a palace of gold? Even I think the queen of this country, or maybe of the kings, they don't have a complete gold palace. But subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared that for you, for me, alhamdulillah, isn't it?
So the love for the dunya has taken the love for our deen al-akhirah out of the hearts. That's the problem today. We've forgotten about our akhirah. You know, we think we're here today, we've forgotten death. You know, the more you remember your death, the more you act about, you know, intelligent is that person who prepares for his future. We tell our children, you know, go and get a good education, then you'll get a good job, you'll be successful in life. How many of us have told our children, prepare for your akhirah, that one day this world is temporary, we're going to die, everything we have will stay here. Put this in your children from a young age, that better this world is a temporary world. Do good deeds and you'll get the benefit in the akhirah, inshallah. And give them this fazail of reading Chashd and Ishraq, and reading Salatul Tahajjud, Salatul Fajr with Jamaat. That will give love to them for Islam and to become practical Muslims, inshallah.
If you have offered Salatul Fajr, that means the first battle with Shaitan is conquered, isn't it?
That's right.
And after starting your day with dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prostrating in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing recitation of Holy Quran is also one of the ways we can attain blessings. You should start your day by opening Quran, kissing it, reading it, and then do your breakfast. Now, when you are doing your breakfast, what are some of the beautiful sunnahs of Rasulullah salatu wasalam you can implement while eating? I would like to request you to mention.
There are many benefits and sunnahs of eating as well. It's been mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, the one who likes that Allah azza wa jalla increase blessings in his home, that he should make ablution when the meal is served, and also make ablution when it is taken away. I.e. wash your hands and rinse your mouth, inshallah your blessings will come into your home as well. So try to sit on a dining mat, take your shoes off to get comfort when eating as well. Three different ways of sitting when eating. Right. Try to sit in their ways. Eat with your right hand. Recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Eat with three fingers.
You
know, if you're eating, for example, a roti or something, keep the roti in your left hand. Break it off over the plate in the right hand. And there's many, for example, the crumbs that fall on the dining mat. Eat those as well.
So you're just mentioning sunnahs and manners.
Sunnahs and manners and etiquettes together. So there's many things you can see that all of these things will be a form of ibadah and forming manners for us as well. So you can see from the morning we woke up, now we just got to breakfast so far. Yeah. We've got the whole day to go yet. So this is...
Don't eat full stomach also.
Of course, that's also, mashallah, a very good point as well. Don't eat to a full stomach. Save some, have some water either before the meal or in the middle of the meal. Water should not be drank after the meal. So these things you can see, there are many health benefits and sunnah benefits of acting upon that as well, inshallah.
SubhanAllah. Okay, Waqasbhai, now we move forward. Now, one person, he has taken his breakfast and he has made sure that whatever knowledge he has about the sunnahs of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam of eating, he has implemented. And I would like to recommend one book. If you want to know more about the sunnahs of eating, then this is the beautiful book, if you can show, Waqasbhai, Path to Piety. And this book tells you different, various beautiful sunnahs of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in detail. Because in this program, we've got a short time, we cannot explain each and every sunnah and menace. But definitely, we're just giving you a little bit of understanding how important it is and a little bit of taste. So you can further go into deep and learn more about them. Okay, because our program is that we are trying to give you and insights, how can you revolve your routine life around Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam's way, sunnah. Now, a person woke up, he offered salatul tahajjud if fortunate enough, or must salatul fajr, and then if fortunate, ishraq and charged, if fortunate, started his day with a recitation of Holy Quran, wazaif, and then he took his breakfast according to sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Because now it's the time to go towards work. Let's say if a person is a professional, he goes to work, or maybe he's a businessman, he's going to his business, or maybe if somebody is going to go for jami'ah or madrasa or school, college. Now, what do you advise? How can one schedule his life and he can implement various sunnahs of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam at his workplace or school or college or any workplace or business
place? So when leaving your home, before, for example, normally we comb our hair. We can comb our hair according to sunnah as well. Put oil in, cut off the right side. There's also been sunnah and matters have been mentioned about oiling and combing your hair. Then you put your shoes on, put your right shoe, if you shake the shoes first, make sure there's no insects, no stones, no pebbles inside. Put your right foot shoe on first, then your left foot, also a sunnah, mashallah. Then when you leave your home, you say salam to all your family members. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
And respect, because of Madani Shaykh, whatever our brother Muballigh of Dawud Islami is mentioning, remember, each and every sentence what is he mentioning is not a sunnah. Okay? There are some etiquettes and manners, they are also included. So, in a nutshell, just in understanding what are the Islamic teachings of doing different things and how we should do it according to the way of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam and those etiquettes and manners mentioned by ulama in their works. So we are just giving you an insight of that in nutshell.
Then we're leaving the home. There's a beautiful dua to read. Bismillahi tawakkaltu ala Allah la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
Subhanallah.
Means the translation, Allah azza wa jal, in the name of, I have put my trust in Allah azza wa jal. There is no power to abstain from evil or might to do good except from Allah Azza wa Jal. By the blessings of reading this dua, inshallah Azza wa Jal, you will stay on the right path and you will be protected from calamities and you will be bestowed with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. Just by this very short dua, we are taught to read this dua, then leave your home, inshallah. And then
people are scared from so many different calamities and problems, alhamdulillah, evils. Now, if a person, he recites this dua, he comes in protection, alhamdulillah. And if he is putting trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he is going towards his job, work, business, or to get education. Gee, as I earlier asked, that how can he implement other beautiful sunnahs when he is at workplace, school, or college?
So firstly, when you go somewhere and you see Muslims there, you should greet them first.
Subhanallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. So to say salam is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, as we mentioned, regardless how many times you see somebody in the day, keep giving salam to them. It doesn't mean you see them once in the morning, you say assalamu alaikum, and afterwards you ignore him. As many times as you do it, we should be greedy for good deeds.
SubhanAllah.
The more you see him, the more you say salam.
Waqasbhai, let me pause you here. Unfortunately, many Muslims, they do not even know how to say salam properly. This is something, another important fact to highlight and tell to the people, right? It is really unfortunate that we are Muslims and we do not even know how to pronounce Muslim greetings correctly.
properly. Before even pronouncing it properly, we don't even try. So to say hello, hi, you know, how you doing? We forget to say assalamu alaikum.
I think we should give a little bit of practice today in this program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now this is the way, the proper way. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is how, and if it is possible, you should attend gatherings of Dawat Islami, Ijtimaat of Dawat Islami, associate yourself with different Madaris of Dawat Islami, Alhamdulillah, Madrasatul Madina Balighan, if it is held in your locality, go there. Alhamdulillah, preachers of Dawat Islami, they will be happy to help you, to correct your pronunciation, and even how to recite kalima, how to say salam, how to even recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim properly. We don't even know that. This is our condition and state, but we need to improve this.
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever takes a lead in saying salam is free from arrogance.
Subhanallah.
90 mercies descend upon the one who gives salam first, and 10 mercies upon the one who replies. So always say assalamu alaikum. Be the first one to say it. As mentioned, another one, the one who says assalamu alaikum receives 10 virtues. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, 20 virtues. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, 30 virtues. So 30 good deeds just for saying the full salam. So whenever you see somebody, say the full salam, inshallah, you get 30 good
deeds. And try to do it first.
Try to do it first as well. 90 mercies descend upon the one who gives it first.
So it is a beautiful sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. You should remember it, that you're saying salam. In your mind, you should have this, that you're doing it because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to do this way. And I'm following the beautiful sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam, and following the teachings of Islam.
Then we normally shake hands, mashallah, we see. Again, this is another sunnah of shaking hands as well.
Greet warmly, wholeheartedly.
Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala was asked, was the act of shaking hands prevalent amongst the companions alayhi ridwan of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He replied, yes. It was prevalent, it was done a lot. So we should also do the handshaking properly. Sometimes we just do fingers or we don't touch properly. So the properly shaking hands, the palms should meet each other. I say salam properly, I shake your hands. As we mentioned, shaking hands with each other eliminates malice. Hatred is removed when you shake somebody's hand. So try to shake their hands, give them salam, smile. Smile is also a form of sadaqah, sunnah as well. Unfortunately, that's lost as well today. Now, even you say assalamu alaikum, the person's a bit grumpy and they don't say it nicely. Smile, shake hands. You can read the person's body language, how he feels, how he looks. So always be positive, always give salam, smiling.
Warmly, wholeheartedly.
Yes, mashallah.
Now if we go a bit further, a person is at his workplace, right? And there are various sunnahs which are in relation to fair dealings, not lying, right? And treating somebody with honesty. Now, what message would you like to give to a businessman who is watching us? And if he wants to live a life in accordance with sunnah, what are those beautiful sunnahs or teachings of Islam which are important for him when he is at his workplace, at his business place?
You know, we mentioned in the last episode as well that Islam was spread initially through business people, traders, to see the honesty, integrity. People used to see how honest they were, how fair they were, and it comes towards Islam. That unfortunately has been, you know, taken away today. You know, a lot of people in their businesses, they lie, they fraud, they deceive people. Always be honest. You know, inshallah, so you will never make a loss if you are honest in your business. Tell the truth. The more you lie, you have to tell another lie to cover that. Another lie to cover that. You know, how many finds out that you lied, you tell another lie, another lie. And it builds up. Always be honest, be truthful, be fair, have integrity. And honesty in your business, inshallah, you see the barakah.
It is also a sunnah of Rasul.
So this is also, you know, have these intentions in your mind. And when you go, have the intention of going to earn rizq halal for my family. You know, have the intention that inshallah, whatever I earn, I'll give a small portion of that in the way of Allah. Whether it be 1 or 2 pounds, I'm going to give something in the way of Allah. Ibadah. This is all. I'm going to earn rizq halal. I'm going to stay away from rizq haram. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to backbite. I'm not going to cheat people. I'm going to be honest. You see how many intentions you can say? In your, whatever I earn, I will give something towards an Ali Madin, towards a masjid. I will do something towards a madrasa. So these, all these acts form of worship for you while you are in your business, while you are in your job as well, inshallah.
Waqas bhai, when we are at workplace or we are running any business, when it comes the time of salah, sometimes it is very busy. People are coming, customers are coming, or we are at office, we have got burden of work. So people, they miss salah. And they've got an understanding, it doesn't matter. Those they offer salah, even they miss salah. And they say, okay, I'll do qada. I'll offer, but at night, all five, I'll do them together. Unfortunately, because of lack of knowledge, I've even heard people saying like this, that, oh, I don't have enough time during work, but I offer salah. I offer at night all together five. This is something all because of lack of knowledge. And there is a majority of people, they do not even offer salah at all. What message would you like to give? Because offering salah is fard, as well as a beautiful prophetic way of Rasul alayhi salatu was salam, much emphasized and stressed upon.
We said that, you know, the one who missed one salah, his name will be written on the door of hell which will enter. So that's enough for us to, you know, think to ourselves that where are we going. But we shouldn't plan our work around, we shouldn't plan our salah around our work. Our work should be planned around our salah. This time I want this much work, then I'm taking a break for Zuhr. Whatever happens, I'm going to take a break. Then I do some more work, then Asr. Plan, you put your salah in place, plan your work around that. Those of us who are business people or, you know, shop owners, we should ensure that we give our staff enough time to read salah as well. Encourage salah, your staff to read salah. Unfortunately, you know, the owners and the business people and the managers, they don't have this mindset. Have a break, read salah. You will see, if you give your employees this time to read salah, you will see barakah in your business. You know, if people in a business all read salah, you see the effect in your business. If they're all missing salah, you'll also see the effect in your business.
There's a beautiful couplet in Urdu, it says, Khuda ko bhool gaye log fikre rozi mein. Khuda ko bhool gaye log fikre rozi mein. Khayal e rizq hai, razik ka kuch khayal nahi. But people, they have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in search of food, sustenance. They are thinking about sustenance, risk, but they have forgotten Razzaq Azza wa Jal, who actually provides risk. How come is it possible that we are missing salah and we will have barakah in our business? How come is it possible that we will have salvation in this dunya and hereafter without following the true commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are running after wealth of this dunya day and night, right? But we are forgetting the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who actually provides risk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to give us risk, but He has not promised that He will give us Jannah.
That's my point, is I was just about to mention that the risk has been written for us. How much risk we're going to get, that's for us already. No one can take that away from us. But we have not been promised Jannah. We have not been promised salvation. What we have been promised and what's guaranteed for us, we are running after that.
True.
However much you run, you won't be able to get more that's written for you. Whatever is written for you, that you will get.
Inshallah.
But what has not been promised for us, we forgot to run after that. We've forgotten that. So this is not the sign of an educated person or an intelligent person who forgotten whatever's guaranteed for him, he's running after that. Whatever's not guaranteed and what you need more, he's forgotten about that. So this, we need to be intelligent and think, where is our priorities in life? You know, how long are we going to live in this life? Work that much for this life. How much are we going to live in the next life? And how much more good deeds we need? We should work for that life, inshallah.
Again, if Salatul Asr comes during our day, if we are at work or business, we must not miss, because this salah is such salah which has been stressed upon. There's more taqeed to offer this salah. We shouldn't miss that. And we should prostrate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having this in mind. This is fard, it is important, and again, it is a prophetic way of Rasul alayhi salatu wa salam. Maqasbi, salah is coolness of the eyes of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Salah brings barakah in one's wealth. Salah brings happiness, alhamdulillah, in one's life. Salah is a light for one's grave. And salah will be light on pul sirat, bridge of sirat. Salah is a key to Jannah. What else we need? There are so many fada'il, excellences, blessings of salah, following this beautiful prophetic way of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam taught us how to offer salah. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there to tell us how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered, and we should never ever miss salah in our daily routine life. Waqas bhai, let's go further in our daily routine. Now, a person comes back to his house after day long hard work, right? Now he's at home. How should a family behave to a person who is coming home? What are the prophetic teachings for a wife to receive a husband, right? And children, what are their responsibilities? And what is the responsibility of a husband? How should he behave at home? This is something very important. How should he give time in accordance with prophetic teachings of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, sunnahs, manners and etiquettes?
So when you come into your home, the first thing you should do is obviously give salam, as you mentioned. When you're leaving your house and coming in, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
First foot enter.
First foot, with your right foot enter, come in, say assalamu alaikum.
If you know dua, you recite dua.
Recite the dua, enter your house, and recite the Rushleaf as well. If nobody's in your house, you say assalamu alaikum ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Recite the Rushleaf and recite Surah Ikhlas as well, as we mentioned. You'll get inshallah barakah and blessings, and that home will come as well. So that's the way to enter into your house. Then, obviously, greet your family again with a smiling face. If somebody's been out at work all day, you know, and they don't want to come home and see everybody in the mood as well, you know, smiling, children should be trying to come towards their father. How's your day been today?
Receive them warmly.
Receive them warmly, you know, speak to them. How's your day been? What have you been up to? The father should ask the children if they went to school. How was school today? What did you do today? Again, just a chit-chat. You know, unfortunately, our homes now, this is our homes. Everybody sitting down.
True.
On their own phones. You know, this is a cause for the blessing of our home to be taken away.
We're socializing with those people who we have never met. We have never even seen. We are socializing with them, but we don't socialize with our own family members.
So you need to speak, you know, rather than on the phone. Even sometimes, you know, if there's five or six people in the room, you know, I've seen that people are messaging, they're sitting in front of each other, but they're messaging each other. Mm. You know, two people are talking, the other two are messaging each other. They're sitting in front of you. So try to put this away. Even if you're very busy, if when you come into the house, first half an hour, make a rule that, look, half an hour, I'm not going to touch my phone. Right? If somebody calls you, miss call, call them back later. This is my family time. Come in, spend time with your family. Afterwards, after you've had your family time, then you could go back to your phone.
When you said family time, it reminds me an account. A child was there, in Qazbay, and he used to watch his father. He would come home and he wouldn't give time to his child. Many times he felt that his father is not giving time. He's always busy whenever he goes to him to play with him or to talk to him or to pass time with him. And he would say, okay, I'm busy, I'm working, okay, later on, we'll do it later on. One day he asked his father, how much do you earn per hour? His father said, let's say £15 an hour, or £20 an hour, or £10 an hour, whatever. So the child said, let me bring £15 and I give you that. Can you please give this an hour to me? I think this was enough for that father to understand how important it is to give time to your family. But one thing is giving time to your family. Another thing is how to give time to your family. It is not watching films and dramas with them sitting and giving time to your family. It is not doing sinning, sitting down or with your family members. Nigari Shura once said that people, they always complain they don't give time to their families. But he said, we are here to teach them. You have to give time, but how to give time? In accordance with the teachings of Islam, in accordance with Sunnah of Rasulullah. What are those blessed teachings we should teach, and we should behave, and we should spend time? That is also important. But unfortunately, astaghfirullah wa qasbi, what actually happens, a father is sitting next to his daughter, an adult daughter, they're both watching films. And in the middle of the film, a father goes out, maybe for a washroom or something. When he comes back, he asks, what was the story? I missed that. What happened to that? In that love story? Astaghfirullah, ma'adallah. Now this daughter, she is telling all that love story, whatever was missed, to her father. Now this is happening. Do you expect any haya, any modesty in that house, in that family? Then we expect anything goes wrong with that daughter. They cry, they mourn, and they go to Imamsa.
One issue that we've seen is
this is what we are doing from our own hands, isn't it?
The issue that we see today is that because we don't give our children time at a young age, when they get older, we forgot them. Then when they get 16, 17, 18, and then they get into the wrong company, into the wrong acts, then we remember. Then we go to run to the Imam Sahabs and to, you know, the pious people, please do dua for us. You know, if we had from a very young age put these children on the right path,
according to Sunnah of Rasulullah,
according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah, then we would not be where we are today. And I said at the beginning that whatever you put into your children, that will be the outcome.
True.
Put it from a young age and you'll see inshallah in the future you'll get a positive outcome. If you forget them and you think it's just about a good job and money and cars and my child's got a good education, that's it. If you forget the tarbiyah, remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a father can give his child nothing better than good manners, good akhlaq.
Subhanallah.
Yeah?
No doubt.
Not big house, no car. Because our fathers have forgotten how to give good akhlaq, good manners. This is what happens. And you hear many stories today. You know, every second house has got a problem with their children today. You know, the masjids, the imam's house, get so many complaints today. And Jumma, we go to, please do dua. My daughter's run off. My son's going into drugs. My son's going into alcohol, into the pubs and the clubs. Where were you for the last 15 years?
True.
You remember when he is 18 now? Where you been the last 18 years?
They were after money.
So this is
day, night,
we need to make sure that from very young age, let's put the right to be to our children to make them pious Muslims of tomorrow, inshallah.
Well, Qasmi, now, let's talk about conversating. When you are at home, you need conversation. When you are at workplace, you need conversation. When you are out with your friends or colleagues or the people around you, or when you go to masjid, what is the right way of conversating? What are the sunnahs and manners of conversing?
With intentions of pleasing Muslims, talk to the elders with respect and youngsters with affection. That's one thing we forget today. We talk to youngsters, we tell them, hey, do this, do that, do that. This is my child, like we have a right. Mm. Talk to them lovingly, affectionately, and talk to the elders with respect. Talking loudly as if you are shouting, like many friends talk frankly, when talking to each other these days is not sunnah.
Okay.
So we see, you know, we shout at each other across the room, we're shouting, or we have a laugh, or we gather, we start shouting loudly, talk loudly, talk quietly, talk in such a pace that people can understand you. Don't talk too fast, don't talk too slow. As I said, with a smile as well. Whenever we're talking, you know, try not to do like put your fingers in your ears, in your nose, you know, scratching here. This is not a good habit as well. So when you're with people, you know, make sure you're always in the best of character, look with the good attire, and then inshallah, talk. Conversely, as I've mentioned, the etiquette of talking as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who keeps silent attains salvation.
Subhanallah.
That's one thing, a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we talk unnecessarily. If you got nothing good to say, stay quiet. Rather than saying something bad and lying and backbiting, stay quiet. You got salvation. It's also been mentioned that when you see somebody who has got this quality of staying silent, seek his closeness.
Subhanallah.
You know? Don't get close to that person because he's a blessed person. You know, some people we talk unnecessarily. We're just sitting here, nothing to say, let's start talking. You know, as they say in Punjabi, gum shop. Let's start talking, you know, for no reason. So, say good things, talk positively, smilingly, happily, cheerfully. Talk about the Quran and Sunnah, how we're talking today. And if you've got nothing to say, bring up a topic. Okay, let's talk about this Sunnah. Does anybody know about this? Let's talk about, you know, this different manners and etiquettes. And make them knowledge of...
Give dawah.
So there's so many things we can do, inshallah, when we are conversing with others.
Yeah. But do not lie. Do not backbite. Do not slander in your conversation. Do not to be negative in your talking. Do not do ill talking. Do not hurt someone's feeling. Right? Do not taunt. In conversation, people, they do all this. When they're sitting, two are sitting, talk about the third person. Right? Even when they are messaging, they are writing, they're doing ghibat, backbiting, slandering, tale-telling, right? These are the normal topics.
And also, as we mentioned, when we talk, we laugh loudly. Remember the gatherings, a few men are together, a few ladies, we can hear them in the other room, they're laughing. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ never laughed out loudly.
True.
He used to smile. So we don't do laugh out loudly that everybody hears us. Talk at a medium tone and never laugh out loud. Just smile, when you're happy, smile, as that's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ as well.
Qasmi, once we have offered Salatul Maghrib, we should also offer Salatul Awwabin, Nawafil, inshallah, more blessing and barakah we can attain. Amir of Ahlus Sunnah has also encouraged us to do so. Furthermore, Salatul Isha is also very important. It is fard, one should never miss that. And we should offer Salah with Jama'at, as we earlier said. If it is masjid is close by, if it is wajib upon us, we should go to masjid and offer Salah. Lastly, at the end, I would like to remind viewers of Madani Channel one very important fact that is called muhasibah, right? Self-accountability, pondering what have I done throughout the day since I woke up until now when I'm ready to go to bed, going to sleep? How did I spend my day? This whole routine life, was it according to Quran and Sunnah? Was it according to the teachings of Islam? Was it according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? Or did I spend all day sinning? Did I spend all day talking, lying, backbiting, slandering, hurting one's feeling, doing fraud, earning haram, watching films and watching dramas? Or I spent my day offering all five daily prayers. I did not miss fard, I did not miss wajib, I did not miss any possible sunnahs which I could act upon. So was my day a daily routine according to sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam or not? This concept of self-accountability, alhamdulillah, my Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahlul Sunnah, Damat Barakatumul Aliyah, has given us in the form of a checklist. And I would like to request you, could you please shed light, what is that self-accountability? What is that booklet? And how can one attain that? And what does it tell? And what is that? What are the acts mentioned in that, and how important it is to follow your life according to that? And can we, inshallah, azawajal, follow beautiful sunnahs if we follow that? A bit of introduction about pious works and the booklet of Amir of Ahlus Sunnah.
This is a Nek Amal or Pious Deeds booklet, or you can just download the app as well on our phones. It's a checklist of what we should do daily. From the time we wake up to how we explain it today, you know, what sunnahs we should act upon, what sins we should save ourselves from,
salahs,
wajibat. So it's a daily checklist, self-accountability, which is a very beneficial thing for us to do. And what the Sahaba Ikram, like Sayyidina Umar and Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, used to do as well. Self-accountability. Inshallah, that will make us more pious and practicing Muslims as well.
So respected viewers of Madani Channel, we should give 5-10 minutes for self-accountability, filling out that questionnaire, booklet which tells us whether you did this or not, whether you did that or not. Inshallah, that will help us to reflect upon our daily routine which we passed. Now, Waqasbe, it's the time to go to bed. What are the beautiful sunnahs of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam we should bear in mind when we're going to sleep and we can act upon? What to recite, what to do, what are those etiquettes and manners?
So it's beneficial to sleep in wudu as well, if you can. Do your miswak. As we said, the etiquettes of going into the bathroom, the washroom, coming out, do wuzu, use miswak. When you come to your bed, shake your sheets, you know, to make sure there's no insects or stones inside. We should try to sleep on our right side, read the dua for going to sleep, inshallah. And try to go to sleep while doing some zikrullah and read salawat as well. So your last words, like at the Kalima Sharif or some Durood Sharif. And inshallah, if you start reading Durood Sharif while you go to sleep, maybe the last words of yours could be the Durood Sharif as well, inshallah.
Subhanallah. Naso jaun ya Mustafa kehte kehte, khule aankh salli ala kehte kehte. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, today we talked about how can we make our routine life according to Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. I hope you must have benefited from this program from the right time of getting up and until going to your bed. Many etiquettes, manners and sunnahs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam were mentioned. Fara'id and wajibat and various other dimensions were discussed. Inshallah, I hope that you must have benefited and you would act upon that too. These programs which we bring for you, the basic purpose is that we can learn something and we can implement. If just one thing you learn today and you start implementing, following in your life, inshallah, that would be a means of salvation for me as well as for you, and if you teach others, for them too. This is the whole idea of such programs, to increase knowledge, to give you an understanding. So how can we implement them, those beautiful sunnahs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in our daily routine life? We are Muslims, we should live according to the teachings of Islam, we should live according to Quran, we should live according to Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In our life, we should implement whatever beautiful Sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam we know and that is possible for us to do. We should strive and work hard to implement that in our life, because we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should follow the ittiba of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Waqasbi, any final message would you like to give to the viewers of Madani Channel?
Every sunnah that you learn about, that you hear about, try and act upon that sunnah to increase your love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to see the benefit of that in the dunya and the akhirah as well, inshallah.
MashaAllah. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much once again giving us your time. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, that's all for today. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you very much for watching. Keep watching Madani Channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of all creation. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of all creation.